Okay, hello for my second talk today. So who was not in my first talk, I'm still Thorsten Kuckuck. I'm still this engineer at SUSE, leading the future technology team and yeah, have a long history with SUSE and as open source developer. And in this talk, it's about no new privs. If you ask yourself, what is this? So the execve system call can grant new privileges if you call it. So obvious that everybody knows or was seeing already on the system are setuid or setgit binaries. You can also add file capabilities to applications. That means it's not the whole root then, but only special flags. And there is a flag for the kernel. It's called new dev underscore privs, which prevents this if you call execve, clone, and fork. So the flag persists always. You cannot delete it anymore. And it also has not only influence on your application, but it also has influence on Linux security modules like AppArmor or SE Linux, who do not relax the constraints after an execve call. So it does not prevent you from calling setuid or setresuid. That is still working, depending on your LSM, of course. But you cannot give it further. So why do we have this flag? This is to avoid privilege escalations. So from our security team, the first answer when I spoke with them was, every well-defined EPC service is generally preferable over any kind of setuid or setgit binary. And they wanted already to forbid setuid binaries many years ago. They never had the time for it. And if I look at the current rate of adding new setuid binaries, yeah, it's more increasing than decreasing. I also spoke at the last All Systems Go conference about this topic. And the generic feedback there and also in other conferences was the basic Linux user space should work without setuid binaries and no new privs. Written in this form is the config option for systemd, so for PIT1. Would setting it there would remove an entire class of security issues. I think everybody heard about copy fail. Who not? Okay. Yeah. So no new press would not prevent copy fail. But all to me known distribution independent exploits are useless because they all expect a setuid binary. So if script kiddies would download the Python exploit, it will not work. If you have a little bit more advanced script kiddies who are able to compile C code, even the exploits written in C don't work. So that would prevent script kiddies, but of course, if an attacker wants to attack your he is still able to create a host-specific exploit for your machine, but yeah, the normal user will fail and so if we disable setuid binaries, what does that mean for Tumbleweed, MicroS or a normal distribution? So we have quite some setuid binaries or capabilities. But if you take a closer look on it, it's not that worse as it might look in the beginning. So the Shadow Pursuit is using it excessively to access mainly the etc shadow file. The same for Linux PAM. The PAM Unix SO module has a lot of helper files. They're also setuid. And then, of course, we have pkexec, su, sudo, to do things with root rights. Postfix needs it to queue and write the emails to deliver them. Postlog is set git in our distribution, but since we use journal D, it's useless, it's not needed in this case, so you can ignore it. Cron has the cron tab so that you can create as user cron jobs, fuse, user mount, and there are many more applications using setuid or file capacities. Many are rarely used or even broken. Why do we know they are rarely used? Because they didn't work for years and nobody reported it. If you want to know what is installed on your distribution, you can use the scancaps binary from the account utils package, which lists all binaries below user or the part you provide to them, which are setuid, setgit, or have some file privileges. So going to the biggest class, account management. So the most setuid or setgit binaries need this privilege to access etc shadow, to do authentication or for or adjust the account expiry fields or something similar. And the idea here is to delegate that to a systemd service. So provide a wireling interface for communication. Services get automatically started by systemd as systemd via systemd sockets. They run as root, but in contrast to a setuid binary, we can use the sandbox features of a systemd service and only allow these services to access etc shadow and nothing else, for example. So one problem is LDAP and NIST, so network. Currently by default, we have disabled the access to the network. If somebody is needing this, then we need or he need to enable the switch to allow networking in the sandbox images. No extra additional privileges are required. And another advantage is currently all these binaries have own checks if this user is allowed to see this data, if somebody tried to tamper with the system or not. So if you make changes there or fixes, you have to touch all binaries. Having this all in one service means you only need to touch one binary at one place and then all other users of this benefit from it. So wireling is something which is got introduced. Now it's very old. There is wireling.org. I don't know how old that is already. But some time ago, the systemd developers found it would be suit better for them, especially during the boot phase, than dbus. Currently, systemd has an own dbus, which is used if the real dbus is not yet started and so on. And with wireling, it makes this all a lot of simpler. Wireling are messages encoded in JSON as JSON objects, terminated with a null byte, and this all happens via streaming sockets. So Science systemd 257, libsystemd provides a public interface for this, SD wireling for the communication, and SD JSON for packaging the messages in JSON objects, with enhancement for systemd. So it's available on every distribution. Systemd makes heavily use of it. So it's something which is meanwhile really well tested and broadly used. Systemd has already a service which more or less provides what we need, systemd userdb. So that's the first idea. It's part of systemd and thus most distributions which are new enough. The password is only visible to the user itself and root, exactly what we need. But you cannot change the password and shadow information, and it is not planned to implement it. With the current design, it's even impossible to implement it, in my opinion. And or people who take a closer look from user at systemd userdb all vetoed against it to do performance and security concerns by the design by all stakeholders. So this is nothing we want to use on OpenSUSE or SUSE currently. So I created my own wireling services. One is pwaccessd, which allows access to an own passwd and shadow entry, and pwupdatd to allow to update the own entries. Then I have own binaries, passwd, fan, fanfinger, fanshell, new git map, new uid map, and more, who don't touch or read directly etc fellow, but always use the wireling service. So they even have effects that they are not set UID root, because if they are set UID, then quite some of the wireling checks would fail. So they don't need set UID, and yeah. And for the PEMUNIX, I created a PEMUNIX NG module, which is in the end doing the same functionality as PEMUNIX is doing, only not accessing the files directly and not via setuid binaries, but via the wireling service. So the PB access daemon provides the passvid and fellow records in JSON format. It uses as in the backend the normal glibc NSS interface. So you define via NSSwitchconf where the entries are coming from, what is the priority of these entries. You can also use all the caching and everything which is available there. The password is only visible to the user itself and root. And it allows the verification of passwords and account expire in a secure manner. So one of the enhancements of wireling from systemd is that you can mark special entries as security relevant, and then they will be handled in another way and make sure that they keep in memory as short as possible and securely deleted before buffers are reused. So with this, I can really write a simple, trivial PEMUNIX module, and all the other applications call it, and the behavior is the same as before. Linux PEM, I have even for PEMUNIX direct support for PWXSD, but it's not possible to enhance that code for updating the password, so I need something new. And yeah, the other thing is that PEMUNIX is meanwhile, I think 30 or even years or even older, and the code is full of workarounds, hacks, compatibility layers, and so on. And yeah, it's not fun to make any enhancements to it anymore. So PB update D is also socket activated, but it's not in system D, but in initd socket style. Initd socket style heißt for every access, systemd is starting a new daemon and it's quit after the one access is get closed by the caller. The advantage is I have always a fresh daemon and it cannot happen that from a parallel session something leaks in the another session or from a previous one. And yeah, another problem is I have several wireling methods. So I have one to start the fan shell process, the fan shinger process, and the password changing process. And I have one for communication with the PEM modules. One disadvantage of wireling is fan shell. I can start a fan shell process. The daemon can send back as many messages as I want, but I cannot answer it. So I always need to quit this wireling method and start it again. And that's why I introduced the conf method for PEM to keep the others one. The whole thing is a client server model, and I cannot trust the client, so passvid, fanfinger, or even wireling CTL if you want to do it the hard way. You cannot trust them because every user can compile them own. There is no setuid bit or anything else needed which would prevent you normally to replace the passvid binary. So I need to run PEM from the daemon, and yeah, that's why I created two daemons from it for PB access D. I don't need PEM. With PB update D, I need PEM. PEMB access D can run continuously. I don't need to stop it. It can handle as many queries as wireling allows. And PB update D is different there. So that's why it's also two services. The next big group is system management and containers. So pkexec, su, and sudo are the most prominent tools to gain root access. There are many, many more. I've never heard them before, but with my utility, I found them all in Tumbleweed. But since I never heard from them and I couldn't find much about them, I ignored them for this. None of them would work if you remove the setuid binary. but there is run zero as replacement. It's a systemd binary, which in the backend starts a systemd service, a transient, using polkit for authentication. So now setuid binary is needed. It exactly solves our use cases. The only disadvantage is that the polkit integration is very poor. So all the polkit rules you can create for pkexec are not possible because run zero nearly nothing delivers on metadata to the polkit daemon so that you can make any useful choices. There is an issue open for me. The systemd developers agree that they need to fix it. But since run zero is a systemd service, it's really hard to differentiate between run zero as a systemd service and systemctl monitoring systemd services. And they don't want to exploit too much information to the outside internal one. And yeah, that's where the discussion stopped. So I said one time billions of scripts call SU or sudo. The answer was this is only the 1% you know. So SU, sudo are really heavily used in shell scripts. And rewriting them all to run zero will not scale. People will not do that. So I created simple wrappers called SU or sudo, which are translating the most important commonly used options to run zero. And it's not much, but for 99%, it is good enough. So I'm using no new prefs on all of my machines, even on this presentation, notebook for presentation. And I didn't run in any case where the wrappers failed or were wrong. So for the normal use cases, even OSC build or whatever, it works. I got one bug report that scare combination of environment variables and options are not handled at all. But okay, there are workarounds for this. Yeah, of course, we don't support sudoers files. You need to create polkit rules. And there I'm back at the poor integration of polkit. So if we have polkit experts, it would be really nice if somebody could help the systemd developers to move that issue forward, because it is one of the most usability issues I currently see with replacements. With containers, we have a different problem. So you don't want to run systemd as PID1 in a container for socket-activated services. So the systemd developers had the idea to use EBBF to define for which application non-new prefs should be set. They discussed that on this year on one of the kernel conferences. The feedback was, as far as I got told, positive, but they are still looking for people who implement it. So that's still open. Yeah, and the other big question I then asking myself, do we need setuid binaries in a container? So if I look at the SU usage in containers, then it's normally always, I call the process in the container to drop privilege so that it does not run as root but as normal user. And for this, I don't need a setuid binary bit. So the usage of SU in all containers I analyzed on my system, they all would work fine with no new prefs. With sudo, it's different. Sudo has a flag if no new prefs is set. If that flag is set, then it doesn't do anything. At least not in the version I used when testing that. So, but on the other side, I haven't found a single usage of sudo in scripts, in entry points, whatever, in containers. So it's also not a real problem for me. But we have postdrop, so if I want to run my postfix container on a system with no new prefs, mail delivery will not work anymore. That's for me a showstopper. If I don't get email anymore, then yes, it would be nice. You have more time to do really useful things. But on the other side, sometimes there are really important emails and you don't want to lose them completely. And another class of containers are distribution containers. most like DistroBox or Toolbox dash U. So you call them as normal user. They create, for example, use a Tumbleweed image or a Fedora image so that you work in the container as if you have this distribution installed. And there you don't need, you need sudo, for example, to install additional packages inside of this container. Or so. This does not work, but we found a nice workaround. Root inside the container is a normal user outside the container. So just call Podman exec as normal user, which is doing installing the packages, works. Usability-wise, not really nice, but doable. But currently, except for the EPPF solution, I don't have another idea how to get working sudo zoo in rootless containers. So the current status, fellow tools, everything which needed access to edit the shell got replaced with binaries from account utils. With this, rootless Podman works out of the box. Rootless Docker does not work. But to be honest, I don't need Docker. We have Podman. But the problem is not Docker, but rootless kit. Rootless kit is doing something, in my opinion, stupid. I don't understand still why. They create a child, then they call new UID map to get the new privileges for the main binary, and then do an re-exec of the failed to move the additional privileges from the main binary to the child. And this does not work, and I don't know why they don't give the child the capabilities from the beginning. But currently, I opened an issue with them, and they have on their roadmap that the next major rootless kit version should be fixed and work with no new press. Then even the Docker people are happy again that it works rootless. So Permunix got replaced by Permunix NG. Polkit, somebody from systemd made some small modifications to the PEM agent from Polkit so that it can now be activated via socket. That's already in OpenSUSE Tumbleweed since quite some time. The advantage is that now the Polkit agent is no longer an unprotected ZUID binary who can do everything, but it's sandboxed. On the other side, if you have some rare PEM module, you need to adjust the sandboxing for it. But that should be doable for distributions. If you have such a module, ship an override for it, which disables this. Contab in Tumbleweed, we replaced all Contab chips, scripts already years ago with systemd timers. That will continue to work. And like postfix, Fuse is still on my to-do list to look in it where and how they need it and if we can somehow replace it. Systemd has meanwhile some nice services which maybe could solve it. I don't know yet. So I, as I said, presented it the first time last year at the All Systems Go. And I spoke with the distributions. It's not the really current state. I didn't have time in the last months to speak with them, but Arch Linux was very interested and they wanted to package it already when they are back from All Systems Go. Demian has the account utils packaged. That was done also by the systemd people. They want that. I don't know the current state, if it is still in some staging, testing, or where it ended. Fedora has a test package for the systemd maintainers. And NixOS seems to be working on really disabling no new press support by default. So I saw a lot of Git requests and also bug reports from them and discussions with them. They integrated account utils yesterday. I think yesterday they merged it. They are currently on exchanging all PEM modules so that their display managers work with no new prefs and yeah. So it could be that NixOS will really be the first distribution having that enabled by default. Our next steps is migrate from Fedora password management to account utils. The biggest blocker we have is libsolve handles obsoletes like provides. And this breaks the use case in container images, we need to continue to use fellow PB management since we don't want systemd service, systemd socket activated services there. So we need to speak with MLS and so on the next days finally to get that solved. Then we have rootless kit postfix fuse, and that's all we need to do to get the biggest, the most use cases work. I know there are in the VM area and other areas still a lot of more setuid binaries, but that will come later. At first, get the basics done. All my Tumbleweed and micro machines I'm responsible for are running with no new press by default, even this presentation notebook. But my mail server, of course not, because I still need to receive emails. There are some references where you can find more. I have a blog for it, which is not current. I really need to find the time the next time to update it, the sources, and the kernel API. And with this, I'm at the end already, and I think we have 2 minutes for questions. Are there any questions? Or is everything so clear?
How do I find out on my system that I have this no prev thing?
Yeah, on? I think that is something which I somehow lost in the slide deck. You can call, you can install the package enable dev new prev. That is the package, and Tumbleweed is already there since a longer time. This package will pull in all dependencies you need. It will create all the config files you need, and it will has conflicts for sudo and all everything which will not work and needs to be deinstalled. So zipper in enable dev no new prev, should switch your system to no new prevs, and then you can use test it and help finding additional issues or new issues and help converting. Okay, so time is up. If you have more questions, I will be quite some time in the back end. You can ask me there. Thank you.